You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Guitar Center's back to school savings now through Sunday.
If you don't want to offend anyone at the University of New Hampshire, don't use the word American. That's a suggestion from the bias-free language guide posted on the school's website. Student Taylor Folan tells Fox News the guide is over the top.
When you have a list online, especially if it's on a university webpage, that's telling you what you can and cannot say and what's appropriate, it kind of crosses a little bit of a line.
The guide claims that people in North America often use the term American, which, depending on the context, fails to recognize South America and that it says is problematic. The university's president is trying to distance the school from the guide, saying it's not part of official policy. He also tells the union leader he's offended the term American could be considered offensive. Young children with scoliosis face a childhood of countless doctor's appointments and treatments, including casts, braces, and even surgery. Dr. Ryan Goodwin with the Cleveland Clinic explains.
Can grow deformed to a point where as the spine is curved, the ribs become deformed and the chest wall can't expand and contract normally.
In the most serious cases, an operation is needed to straighten the spine every 6 months as the child grows. Now kids have a high-tech option that means less surgery. A magnetic device that was recently approved by the FDA can be lengthened in a doctor's office without surgery. Dr. Goodwin says any scoliosis patient eligible for a growing rod as young as 2 years old may also be a candidate for the magnetic rod. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
On today's program, I'll recap my recent experiences at the Crown Trophy Annual Franchisee Meeting. I'll talk about the worst and rudest customer service experience I've ever had. I'll have the 10 things the best do differently, how social media selling can help boost your sales, and the 5 kinds of people who will help you succeed as an entrepreneur. It's Thursday, July 30th. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano. The program is called Taking Care of Business, and for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses here in Flemington, in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, of course, it's time to take a look at the weather. Buster's got it all right. Hot, hot, hot. That's what's going on right now outside. Hazy, hot, and humid. Currently 81 degrees, and it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 88 degrees today and a low of 64. There is a chance of a pretty powerful evening thunderstorm, so you're going to want to batten down the hatches for that. Also, we've got, for tomorrow, more of the same with plenty of sun and a high of 89 degrees and a low of 63. For Saturday, it'll be warm with some sun and clouds and a high of 89, a low of 62. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies, very warm, a high of 88 degrees and a low of 65 with a possible thunderstorm late in the evening. The beautiful strains of Bachman Turner Overdrive and the song Taking Care of Business, the theme song for this radio show. So glad you could join us. Sorry once again for having to take last week off, but had to make my way down to Delray Beach, Florida for the annual Crown Trophy family reunion, franchisee meeting, and a great trip it was. Fired up the old Crown Trophy of Flemington jet and flew down there and had a great time. It's, to me, it's probably the highlight of the year, because you get a chance to interact you can have all the educational seminars you want, but where I learn the most during those 4 or 5 days is when we break out into different sessions, and it could be a formal breakout. It could be, hey, let's meet for dinner, breakfast, lunch, whatever. And it could also be just sitting around the pool or the bar and talking about business. And when you share ideas peer-to-peer with your co-owners, it just makes a huge difference to me. And I always tell folks that I learn more in those 4 days than I can learn in an entire year of running my store. Now, Crown Trophy of Flemington, we've been open for 6 years here. And, you know, you go through the day-to-day experiences of working with customers, selling products, and then selling new products. And, you know, we're working just this morning. I had a vendor in who was showing me an attachment to one of our laser engraver machines that I think can open a new market for us as it pertains to engraving on glassware, bottles, etc. So we're trying to do that a little less expensively than the normal traditional standards would be, a little cleaner. So it was good to meet with him for about 2 or 3 hours this morning, and it looks like we'll probably pull the trigger and buy that piece of equipment. Then we have a vendor show at this meeting, and it's the same thing. You know, you meet with vendors, and sometimes you see the same old products every year with certain vendors, and other times they'll come out with new products that we can look at, and then we have to think of which customer could I sell this to, which account would have an interest in something like this. So we're always looking at how can we expand our revenue streams, and I think every business at some point has to be looking at that. And it doesn't matter what you do. You don't have to be a trophy store to think about, you know, new revenue streams. Could be a clothing store, sporting goods store, something like that. But you always have to be looking at, you know, if people only know you as just one thing, then that is something that you have to branch out of. And for us, it's very hard because we have the name Crown Trophy. And I've had people that will literally show up in my store and ask if we sell plaques. You know, kind of makes sense that if you're a trophy store, you would also sell plaques and other awards. They just don't know based on the name. So over the course of the next year, we're going to do some form of rebranding. We've already done it in our store, but the corporate side is going to look at how they can rebrand Crown Trophy. What we've decided to do is we're just going by the name of Crown of Flemington, and then from that, you can either use our Crown Sign business, Crown Custom Apparel, Crown Varsity for our varsity jacket line, or Crown Promotional for the Crown, you know, for the promotional products. And this came about from a conversation that I had with Russ from the Success Advertising or Success Communications Group, and he kind of based it off of the FedEx model: one logo, different colors, different services. But rather than, you know, signs by Crown and shirts by Crown and everything else by Crown, it just didn't make sense. And there were too many logos out there. There was no brand identification. And it made perfect sense to me. Whether or not I'm going to be able to sell that to corporate, I'm not really sure. So we launched a new website, which is not really new. It's just a different way of accessing all of our websites. And each one is tailored to the individual store. So you have a landing page now where when you go to crowntrophy.com, you'll get to the main page, and then from there you can click on corporate for our corporate awards, the trophy for the trophy awards, the shirt section for the apparel, the signs section for our signs by Crown, and that's only going to be for those stores actually participating in those ideas. So it's good and bad, you know, but I'm going to give it a shot and see whether or not we can promote it. I think it'll work. And then we're also going to be able to customize our landing page. So it may be a video message from me or a featured product, but we'll see how that's going to work out. And then on Friday, every year, we have our annual awards dinner. And this was nice this year for a couple of reasons. One of our store owners had passed away last year, and so they named a new award after him. And so it's called the Ben April Award. It was won this year by a gentleman up in Massachusetts who was very well-deserving. And you know, it was nice to kind of reflect back and honor Ben's memory that way. So very happy that that award is now in the Crown Trophy fold. And then we were actually somewhat surprised because we had won. We were one of only 8 stores to win the Sales Leadership Award. We've won this 3 times previously, and you know, so but I didn't know that we had hit the numbers. So I was very happy that we had done that. And then I texted my staff at about 9:30 at night and said, you know, this award is yours as much as it is mine, because, you know, we can sell anything we want, but if we don't produce it and deliver it on time, and that comes from my staff, then it's really not going to work out. So very proud of the fact that we've now won the Sales Leadership Award for four times. I was joking with some friends that if Jimmy Johnson has won six championships, that, you know, we've only got two more to go and we'll tie him. So very excited and motivated to keep that momentum going towards next year. So congratulations again to my staff on winning the Sales Leadership Award. Very grateful for your efforts and proud of your efforts as well. Now, before the show started, I did a preview where I said I had the worst customer service experience ever. I want to get this in before the break. Now, over the past couple of weeks, I've been going to New York on and off to meet with doctors to try to figure out if there's a way that we can relieve some pain that's happening in my arm and my hand. And went to one doctor, and he looked at the symptoms, and he looked at the MRIs and everything, and he said, I don't believe this is a neck issue. I believe it's an arm issue. But you have to go see a different doctor. Go to see the different doctor. He says, I don't believe it's an arm issue. I believe it's a neck issue. So now we have 50-50 here. We have two doctors kind of arguing with each other over what's what. So I have to go back in tomorrow morning for another series of tests, and hopefully that will determine whether or not it's the arm, whether it's the neck, or the daily double, both. And so we're going to figure that out. But it was the other day when I was leaving the doctor's office that kind of ticked me off, in that the lady who was checking me out, first of all, she took my copay. While she's processing the copay, and there's four girls that sit in a very tiny cubicle area, so she would lean behind her, and I'm just going to use made-up names, and she goes, oh, Betty, look. And she goes, isn't he cute? And he's so cute, and he's eating like crazy, and he's growing like crazy. And Betty turns around and says, oh, yes, he's very cute. And then, you know, she's still processing my credit card transaction. We're trying to schedule another MRI appointment. And she goes, oh, look, Betty, look. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm thinking that we're talking about a picture of a child. So she holds up her iPhone, and she is FaceTiming or webcamming her house. And what she was looking at was her kitten. And so now all of a sudden the kitten was more important than the patient. And what really pissed me off was what she was looking at, and that was that the fact that the kitten was now sitting in the litter box doing its business, and this woman was so proud that her kitten was able to poop in the litter box. And again, that was more important to her than servicing the customer. Now, all she had to do was run my credit card, set up an appointment for me to go downstairs to get an MRI like 20 minutes later, and I'd be out the door, and she could just stare at her kitten and watch it poop all day long. But she felt it was more important, you know, at that moment to interrupt our transaction, talk to her friend, and stare at the screen of her iPad. I could not believe what I was witnessing. And then she turned it around and showed me. So now I had to look at the kitten, you know, pooping in the litter box. And I'm like, that's just amazing. And you could tell this girl was so into the cat that I finally said, oh, you know, and it's eating a lot. She goes, oh, yeah. I said, well, now what you need to do is you need to, you know, set up the table so that when you have your dinner, the kitten can be having its dinner in the chair across from me. She goes, I did that Sunday night. I'm like, oh, we are lost here at this point. So this woman I know is going to grow up and have 40 cats, and we'll see her on an episode of Hoarders or something. But it just didn't make any sense to me. You know, I focus on, you'll hear me all the time on the show talking about the importance of customer service, the image of your business, how you treat the customer. During my presentation last week at the franchisee meeting, I talked about, and a lot of people commented on this because they realized where they might have been making some mistakes. You have to be engaged with your customer. Now, the question is, was she more engaged with me and getting my needs satisfied, or was she more engaged with her little kitty that was pooping in the box? So there, you know, I lost a little bit of faith, and I have great faith in the doctors. In the office staff, not so much, because they're a representation of the owners of that business. And didn't say anything to any of the doctors because I'm still in the middle of a treatment process here. So, but I do intend at some point to say, you know, this is not right. And this, if this is going to be the front line, the people who are representing your business, you got to fix that, because they need to be focused solely on the customer, which is in this case, you know, the patients. So we will address that at a later date. But it just amazed me that, you know, her kitten cam and the pooping kitty was more important to her than the patient standing right in front of her. When we come back, we're going to talk about why money isn't enough to motivate people at work. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. We'll be back right after this.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. So glad to be back in the big boy chair after a week off for the Crown Trophy Annual Franchisee Meeting. Glad to be back, and should be for quite some time. So looking forward to more topics as we attack the rest of the year. And don't forget, we're heading into August next week. So this is the final 5-month push. So whatever you're doing and you need to reassess your sales goals and corporate goals and make sure that you're on track, and if not, make any adjustments that you feel need to be made so that you can reach them. It was interesting to note during my presentation last week at the annual franchisee meeting that we have equaled the sales from 2012 already. So in effect, we did a year's worth of business in just 6.5 months, and when people saw both the numbers and the fact that we were able to duplicate that in just, you know, 2 or 3 years, they were amazed, and it brought up a lot of conversation amongst my fellow store owners and myself. So again, you should always be tracking your numbers, but now's a good chance where it's August, we're getting ready to head back into the school year and things like that. People come off vacations. Are you where you want to be? And a good time to look at the numbers and make sure that indeed you are. Now, before the break, I mentioned that money may not be enough to motivate people at work. Employees need more than just a good salary to feel motivated. And many small business people believe that if you get the right people on the bus, they won't require any external motivation. Now, while these high performers will insist on receiving market rate compensation, they don't require extrinsic motivation. They are driven. They couldn't conceive of doing less than their absolute best, regardless of the circumstances. Now, that may be true for top performers who are well above average. Unfortunately, most of us don't live on Lake Wobegon. In the real world, the average employee is, well, average. The fact is that the average employee does need extrinsic motivation. The notion that you can remove motivation and people will continue to work hard because they are intrinsically motivated ignores human nature. In general, people will work harder if they believe there are rewards for good results and penalties for poor ones. Elite employees notwithstanding, the vast majority of companies do need to motivate their people. Compensation is perhaps the most frequently used motivator, and it works. Studies show that only the prospect of receiving money in the near future is a strong enough motivator to change behavior. Once the employee receives the money, its power to motivate ends very quickly, and some studies say within a week. Further, the same studies indicate that to truly change behavior, the amount of the incentive must be at least 10% of base compensation for the period in question. Money is important, but we all want and need more than compensation alone. Our work indicates that people also want to be recognized, contributing members of a winning team, and this means that people want to know that the enterprise in which they are involved is succeeding. They want to know what they are doing is contributing to that success, and they want these efforts to be recognized. Take every opportunity to celebrate successes. Disingenuous hoopla won't work, and if a company is underperforming, management needs to acknowledge that reality. However, even when a business is in trouble, if it begins to move in a positive direction, that progress should be acknowledged. Celebrations communicate to employees that the company is succeeding. The first of the three things needed is to motivate. Second, employees need to understand how what they are doing is contributing to that success. Now, how are they going to know this? Well, their manager needs to tell them. If you can't come up with a way that an employee is contributing to the success of the company, then you should ask if you need that position or that particular employee. And finally, employees want their contributions to be recognized. Monetary recognition is one way, but simply saying thank you when an employee does a job can be very powerful. Now, instead of speaking to employees only to correct them, catch employees doing something right and praise them. When you praise an employee, be specific about what you liked and link their behavior to a company or professional goal. A well-timed gift certificate, recognition at a company meeting, extra time off, or even a sincere job well done will go a long way towards motivating employees. Carrots are good, but our experience is that to be most effective, there needs to be some stick as well. Employees need to know that there are consequences associated with poor performance. Yes, there are a few superstars who don't need any motivation at all, but most employees do. The superstars are expensive, and small businesses often can't afford them. Therefore, small businesses need to focus on motivating their employees to get superior performance. So this is something that I talked about last week, and it shocked people when I tell them that I do not perform annual performance reviews with my employees. We have daily performance reviews and or weekly performance reviews. And the reason for this is because having worked in the corporate world, 10 years in insurance, 8 years as a recruiter, I know what it's like to be on both sides of the table, and I can't stand either chair. As the employee, I don't want to be told what I did wrong 10 months ago, and as the employer, it's uncomfortable to have a pretty good performing employee. It just seems like performance appraisals are always written towards the negative. What didn't you do well? What can you do better? Versus just acknowledging the fact that this person's doing a damn good job right now. So that's why I want to make sure that, you know, my employees know where they stand almost daily. I had one instance yesterday that I became aware of. I corrected that this morning. I had a positive instance yesterday where, you know, we had a kid who works with my son Brandon in our apparel and sign division. They were communicating back and forth while we were in Florida last week. Brandon was talking him through how to do certain things. He did a fantastic job. I didn't think this kid had it in him, but he really stepped above and beyond. And as a result, he's getting a dollar more an hour effective immediately because I really appreciate the effort that this kid has been putting in. He's starting to show a little bit more interest in the business, and we took care of that. So this morning's correction wasn't so good, but yesterday's correction was good. And it happens. It's how you manage your business. You have to create the expectations and then manage those expectations. And when people start falling off of that wagon, then we have to reel them in and make sure that they're back working the way we want them to. But again, the part about, like, if somebody does something wrong in February, why would I wait until November to tell them or rehash it? Because they've already moved past it, and we should too. So some good advice there as far as how you can motivate people without using money. I like the idea of the gift certificates, extra time off, corporate outings, etc. So hopefully you'll be able to come up with some ideas of your own. Have you ever thought about scaling your business? And scaling your small business isn't easy, but it can be done. And Sam Chupayev, who's 35, began cutting hair at 18 years ago as an unpaid trainee, and eventually he got his own chair in a large New York City barbershop, building a clientele and formulating a plan. After 6 years of what he describes as planning, saving, and dreaming, Chupayev opened Made Man Barbershop in the New York City neighborhood of Chelsea on April 21st, 2013. Chupayev was doing all right, but the four chairs in a 550-square-foot shop weren't enough to accommodate the growing number of people who kept showing up for a cut and a shave. He added a fifth chair, but he was still turning away a growing number of potential customers every day. It was then that one of his regulars said, "Sam, Why don't you keep count of the number of people you turn away, and then you can do the math on the revenue to see if it's enough to expand? To Chulpiev's surprise, he was unable to accommodate 50 people a day. This tiny barbershop was no longer just a place for guys in the neighborhood. They were attracting people from outside of the city. So 18 months later, when a 1,000-square-foot space opened up, which he could hold eight chairs, directly across 23rd Street, Chulpiev wasn't ready, but he knew the opportunity was too good to pass up. And he wondered if he'd ever get to see his family again if he took this on. We looked at the neighborhood of creative professionals, and we hope people here appreciate something unique. It's a bit nostalgic, and they recognize it, says Chulpiev, adding, we didn't want to look cheesy. I could have put in for micro countertop stations, but that wouldn't work. Everything had to be coherent and go hand in hand. It always felt wrong for me to have clients turned away because of our price, and we wanted to create a place where people could afford to get great service in an awesome atmosphere. We didn't want to be an overpriced shop without great service, says Chulpiev. So how does he keep his bench strong? Well, a lot of it is finding the right people. He says they pay really well, and now people seek him out. He turns away about 95% of job applicants. Then I train or retrain. And once you get a good employee, he will bring good people. One guy brought in four other good barbers, he said. Now here's Sam's tips for hiring. He said, first, look at their character. A non-combative, easygoing personality is important. You can't work with people who won't adjust or let you teach them anything. And if it's difficult with me, it'll be difficult with the customers. They need to coexist and respect each other. If a guy is great but the character doesn't work, it's just not a fit. He says you also have to have the skills necessary. The hiring process starts with a call, and he evaluates the person immediately. If they're negative in a bad way, he won't move forward. But if he decides to bring them in for an interview, they'll cut his hair, and the fact that it's me shouldn't matter to them. They need to be confident in their skills. If they have a great personality, but they need work, I'll point out the weaknesses, and if they want to learn, we'll continue, and I'll teach them. And the third thing, and this goes back to the conversation we had earlier in the show, customer focus. It's about the brand, the customer experience, and we like to keep a certain atmosphere. The way they approach a client, they can't just scream out, "Who's next?" I like to see a smile, ease. Customer service is not something that most people know. It's not about their personal life or problems. This is the client's resting time. So I have my staff read the paper. We have a bar, and we put in an espresso machine for our morning clientele. The spend is insignificant. If you weigh the $1.50 we pay for that versus the pleasure the client gets, it's a no-brainer. And that's why we don't charge for that. We strive for a relaxing environment. So here's a guy who, you know, is doing everything towards making it a more of a customer experience. And it doesn't matter what you do, whether it's selling trophies, selling clothing, selling burgers, make it more experiential, not transactional, and I think you'll do very well. So all good things. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, 10 things that the best of the best do differently. You're listening to... Why can't I remember the name of the show today? I keep wanting to say you're listening to Crown Trophy. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The NAACP is hailing the decision to charge a white University of Cincinnati policeman, Ray Tensing, in the shooting death of Samuel DuBose after a traffic stop. Cincinnati Police Chief Jeffrey Blackwell says the video of the deadly traffic stop shows what he calls egregious missteps.
When we make mistakes, we have to be willing to call it like we see it.
Tensing's attorney says his client didn't intend to kill DuBose. A piece of aircraft was found on a remote Indian Ocean island yesterday, and officials think it may be part of the Malaysia airliner that disappeared 16 months ago. Independent aviation expert Philip Butterworth Hayes says the wreckage is being analyzed.
It's going to be pretty certain very, very quickly whether this came from the missing aircraft or not.
Experts say the strong currents of the ocean could have pushed debris from the plane several thousand miles from where it went down. This is USA Headline News.
Do you have federal student loans? Would you like to lower your student loan payments or possibly have a portion of your loans forgiven? If you owe $10,000 or more, you may qualify for the government's income-based program, which means you could pay as little as $5 per month. If you're behind, late, or even if you're in default on your federal student loans, we can help consolidate your student loans into one affordable monthly payment and cut your payments right away. Federal Student Loan Services provides student loan relief, getting you relief from your federal student loans fast. If you owe $10,000 or more on your student loan, call our established student aid toll-free assistance line right now at 800-669-0290. Once qualified, we can fix your student loan problems guaranteed, and there is no credit check. Call 800-669-0290, 800-669-0290 now. We've helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loans. Our specialists are waiting for your call. Call 800-669-0290. Again, 800-669-0290.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. It's currently 86 degrees here in Flemington, and the showers are on their way. So as we look at the weather, today it'll be mostly sunny and hot and humid with a high of 88 degrees and a low of 64. There is a chance, like I mentioned, of a pretty powerful evening thunderstorm ramping up. For tomorrow, more of the same with plenty of sun and a high of 89 degrees, a low of 63. For Saturday, it'll be warm with some sun and clouds with a high of 89 and a low of 62. And for Sunday, mostly sunny and very warm with a high of 88 degrees and a low of 65. Again, a possible late thunderstorm in the evening. Well, before the break, I mentioned I wanted to talk about a story called The 10 Things That the Best of the Best Do Differently. So the question is, are you one of the best of the best? And if so, do you have the same traits as the people that we're about to describe? Now, something that has always fascinated me over the years is, what are some of the things that the best of the best do differently? What are their habits? What do they do as far as how they approach their workday? And that's why, just like last week when we go to the annual meeting, I seek out the stores that are above me, you know, in sales volume, because I want to know what is it that they're doing, whether it's a process improvement, whether it's a people improvement. What are they doing differently? Are they working 24 hours a day? What is it that separates, you know, creates that barrier between us and them? And a lot of times it's just the years of service. You know, we've been doing this for 6 years. Some of these stores have been doing it for 10, 12, 15, on into the 20s. Of years that they've been running their store. So while we are continuing to grow, I want to know, what should I expect when I get to your level? Now, while there are many different qualities and habits that the best possess, here are 10 of some of the most common things that I've found have helped them differentiate themselves from everyone else. Number one, they constantly expand their vision. Now, instead of letting their past mistakes, failures, and hardships define their destiny, they constantly expand their vision as to what is possible. They know that as long as they're still breathing and get the opportunity to live another day, there is more for them to be, to do, and to achieve. Number two, they are extremely goal-oriented. They take time out of the year to sit down and visualize what they want in their lives. And once they know what they want, they write down their goals and come up with a pretty detailed plan for everything they have to do to make it a reality. Number three, they take massive action. After they set their goals and come up with a detailed plan, they fully understand that absolutely nothing will work if they don't work. Many people want to complain about their circumstances or how hard life can be, while the champions, the best of the best, just gets moving. They surround themselves with supporters is the fourth trait. They have friends and people in their inner circle that help them grow, that get better and achieve their biggest goals and dreams in life. They want nothing to do with people who suck the life out of everyone they come in contact with. The best of the best know how vitally important it is to surround themselves with a team of like-minded individuals who are going to help them win in all facets of life. Number five, they are lifelong learners. Now, they are constantly searching for ways to grow and get better. They invest in their personal development, and regardless of how successful they already are, you can always find them eager to learn something new, refine their skill set, or simply grow in some way, somehow in some area of their life. They work harder on themselves than they do on anything else. Number six, they serve others. They understand that true success and fulfillment comes from serving and helping others get to where they want to go. The best salespeople serve, the best parents serve, the best executives serve, the best entrepreneurs serve. Regardless of what field or what one does for a living, the best of the best operate out of a servant mentality. Number seven, they work harder than anyone else. And many people might think that they are just lucky or privileged, but the truth is that a great percentage of the men and women who are at the top of their game and dominating their selected field work harder than anybody else. They have a ridiculous and what some would call a sickening work ethic. They still put in the long hours regardless of their bank balances and are absolutely never satisfied. They don't let failure stop them from taking action or trying something new, is the eighth tenet. The best of the best thrive under pressure. They love when their backs are against the wall and they have to perform at a high level. The best of the best actually love failure. They understand that the trials and tribulations that they go through are only present to help mold them into something better. Number nine, they believe in and work toward a vision or mission that is bigger than themselves. Instead of being temporarily pushed by motivation or some exterior reward, they are being pulled by their powerful mission or cause that is way bigger than them. And number 10, my favorite, they never give up. Now this last one sounds so cliche, but it's unbelievable the amount of fight, persistence, and perseverance that the best of the best display over the course of their journey. No amount of setbacks and failures will stop them from waking up each morning and getting ready for work. They love the fight that it takes to be the best and completely understand that it's not about instant gratification, but who can persevere through the most crap. They have a last man standing wins mentality. The day the best of the best gives up is the day that they will be in their coffins. So if you adopt these 10 things into your life, and maybe you too could eventually be among the best of the best. Now, there's also the worst of the worst. And I met one of these people last week, and I was absolutely flabbergasted by it. So we're going to title this segment, It's Not the Economy, Stupid. Now, a few years ago, a politician used that phrase, it's the economy, stupid, when discussing what was wrong with America. And this was just shortly after the financial crisis of 2008. So at the meeting last week, you find all kinds. And I love every one of our store owners. Don't get me wrong. I think that they're doing their best. They're helping their communities. They're providing great product for their customers. And we really had a great time with everybody, both during the training sessions and then afterwards, whether we went out to dinner, whether we went to the lobby bar and just hung out and, you know, watched some sports on TV and talked about business. But we were in one breakout session, and a gentleman in the back of the room, who's always very negative, made the comment to the founder of our company, and he knows what's going on across the whole country, and he said, "You don't understand. I have too much competition and the economy is horrible." And I looked and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. We're not really going to pull out the economy excuse again, are we? Because to me, that excuse had to be retired about 3 years ago. So here's a person who knows how far away each of his competitors works, knows by to the tenth of a mile, knows exactly how far all of his competitors are, and he's still using the excuse of a bad economy for why he can't sell more. Now, I had a separate conversation with him later in the day. This is a similar conversation I had with him about a year or two ago, where I said, I would love to know where all of my competitors are down to the tenth of a mile. And I said, I would welcome the competition. If I had no competition, I would make someone up in my head. And I would set a dollar limit of where they had sales. I would call it Joe's Trophies, and I would say that he's doing $1 million in sales because that would give me the goal that I'm looking to beat. I would have to beat this imaginary Joe's Trophy. So, again, he was telling me, well, this guy does $300,000, this guy does $500,000, this guy does $400,000. I said, that's great. You know, and he had eight total stores. I said, let's just break it down. If each store did $300,000 in sales, and there were eight of them, you would have a total of $2.4 million in the retail awards business. And he goes, exactly. I go, right. Now, what if we could take 10% of that and put it in your store? That would be $240,000 more business. And right away, the defense mechanism went up. The eyes got wide. And it wasn't wide with wonder, like, what am I going to do with $240,000 more in sales? It was the realization that he would actually have to work his ass off to try to build his business even more. You have to have the financial capital in place. You have to have the human capital in place. But you could tell that he was more afraid of doing more work, but he was very comfortable complaining about the fact that he had so much competition and that that the economy was so bad. So I did a little research while I was down there. I love Zillow. I love Google. And I come to find out that in his territory, the real estate market is very hot right now and has been for the last 3 to 4 years. It did suffer in 2008, 9, and 10, but it really started to rebound in 2012, 13, 14, and now in the 15. So I went to him and I said, do you have any idea what's happening in your market? And he said, no. So I kind of educated him on the real estate market. I said, the unemployment in your area is down to less than the national average. People are spending more. More businesses have moved in the last 2 years than left 5 years ago. You're in great shape, but you have to go out and capitalize on that. You have to go out and market to the schools, to the athletic teams, to the businesses, to try to get them to do business with you. Or you can sit back in your chair, do absolutely nothing, complain about the economy, and not grow at all. And then you're going to complain at next year's meeting that you weren't able to grow. Now, we won the Sales Achievement Award, which meant that we had to achieve a certain level of sales. I think the threshold this year was something like $80,000 over last year, something like that. We exceeded that, and we've done it four times. He's never won this award, and I'm just kind of curious whether or not he's happy to let the business come to him instead of him going out to get the business. So I take exception to anybody who says that the economy is the reason that their business is suffering. Sometimes you really have to take a hard look in the mirror and say, the reason my business sucked is because I suck. So it's a hard look, but you have to really look at yourself sometimes and say, is this my fault? Do I need help? Where can I find that help? And then finally, am I willing to do it? I've worked with a lot of stores over the years. I've worked with a lot of businesses, both in and outside of the trophy industry. And one of the biggest hurdles that people have to jump over is admitting that they have failed and be willing to make necessary changes. Once they do that, if they listen to my plan, they follow the process, they trust that process, they will have success. Well, I've been holding on to this story for several weeks, and I didn't know when to throw it in here, but we'll do it right now. 8 business name mistakes that investors hate to see. Now, obviously, every new baby gets a name before it is introduced to the world, and yet some entrepreneurs continue to send business plans with to-be-determined names to banks and lending institutions on their front page. They don't realize that the name they choose, or the lack of it, sets an initial perception of the business that may override all of its value. Your business name will have the same impact on potential customers. Now, just as with names with people, there isn't any ultimate right or wrong, and every name has unique implications in different cultures, economies, and markets. Names can imply strength, value, connection, or friendliness, or they can set opposite tones. As you search for that perfect name, it pays to avoid the key mistakes that investors and business naming experts hate to see. So the first would be trivial names and acronyms that aren't sticky. Your spouse's initials may be meaningful and memorable to you, but as a company name, it won't get you very far in business. In this world of information overload, you need a name that will remain memorable and meaningful for years to come, even after trends change and your startup has pivoted. Number 2, tricky spellings send customers to competitors. Today, everyone expects to find you online, and competitors quickly learn to route all misspellings of your business name to their sites. Use conventional spelling or phonetically consistent spellings rather than the cute variation that implies a double entendre and amuses all of your friends. Number 3, nonsense phrases and non-words are tough to brand. Now, these may be easy to trademark, but there are few plans strong enough for companies with enough money to make Google and Xerox recognize brands. Most startups don't have the resources and should be more humble in starting with a name that customers will recognize. Number 4, every extra syllable or special character makes it harder. 2 syllables seem to be the optimum for a business name, especially if it can be easily turned into a verb such as Facebook or Twitter. Hyphens, special characters, or a mixed case in the name only invites the misspellings and memory problems mentioned before. 5, beware of international and cultural implications. Even if you have not thought of going international, remember that every website on the internet is visible around the world. So do your research to be sure that you will not be embarrassed by a name that has negative or obscene implications in another culture or language. Number 6, don't limit your future expansion possibilities. Business names that have specific geography, references, or product implications will come back to haunt you as the market changes or new growth opportunity emerges. Changing the name later and rebranding is a very expensive proposition, and it takes a long time. Number 7, your desired name is not available on the internet and or social media. These days, before you adopt a company name, you need to make sure you can secure the domain name for your website. The trademark is not taken, and the name is available on all social media sites that your customers might frequent. Confusion is going to cost you customers. Number 8, skip the new wave of domain name suffixes. Even though the standard .com or country suffix can now be replaced virtually with any word, including .bank, .sport, or .coke, I don't recommend it yet for startups. And while these may sound attractive in defining your company name, they still don't have full recognition by most customer segments. At best, they should be reserved as alternates with website redirects to forestall competitors. In all cases, I recommend that you spend some time building a short list of 3 to 5 names that satisfy your objectives, but avoid the shortcomings that I've mentioned earlier, and try them out on potential customers, peers, and advisors. Feedback from friends and family is the least valuable, since they have the same biases that you do. If you choose a name and realize based on early results that it's not the right one, it's smart to change the name immediately rather than hope to overcome the limitations with more marketing. Changing your branding is always hard, but it's one of the most common pivots that startups make. It will cost you some money and time now, but not changing your name will likely cost you business later. When we come back from the break, gotta pick a good one here. We're going to talk about the 6 leadership lessons that you need to learn by next year. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on 100inChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on 100 Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100 Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100inChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. We got another 10 minutes together, so I wanted to talk about 6 leadership lessons that you need to learn by next year. And I want to do this in relatively quick fashion because I do have another story that I want to go through with you. And then we'll call it a wrap for the day. The first is to make time for personal growth. As a leader, you already know how important of a resource time is, and you work to grow your organization. In 2016, you're going to notice that time will become even more valuable. So free up some time to learn, grow, and lean in to what's important to you and inevitably your business as well. And also, you want to challenge yourself to be more open to opinions, ideas, and suggestions from others. You want to avoid isolation. Effective leaders know that isolating yourself from the rest of your team is like shooting yourself in the foot. Being transparent about your goals, challenges, and vision is important to developing a strong team as well as organization. The third point is to understand motivation. Effective leaders are motivated by different things and in different ways. Taking the time to figure out how you can motivate the various personality types in 2016 throughout your organization will make for more productive and satisfied employees. You also are going to need to take some risks. In 2016, don't be afraid to take risks. Now, according to Seth Godin, if you never take risks, you will never succeed. Effective leaders know how to take calculated risks because they know that it is in the best interest of their organization. No matter what happens, remain confident in your ability to lead and to be steadfast in your decision-making skills. You also want to preach selflessness. Effective leaders will always put others ahead of themselves. Take Santa Claus, for example. They believe in working as a team and knowing that their strength in numbers. And sixth, lead with the why. Find the meaning and make connection between the work you do and why it affects a lot of people. Be sure to share your vision with your employees, your clients, so that you can help spread it. So just a couple of ideas on how a couple of quick leadership lessons could help you. And you need to kind of adopt that mentality by 2016. And like I said at the beginning of the show, we're already closing in on August, so it's time to make sure that you are where you are in relationship to your goals for 2015. It's time to start thinking about your goals for 2016. Currently 12:52. Here's 10 mini productivity hacks to ease your life. Now, we probably live in the busiest and most distracting time in history, and all the tasks we have to accomplish each day can really be difficult to complete when it's hard to focus. Everyone wants to be more productive, but many people don't know where to start. Or worse, they think that the key to productivity involves doing things that look like major lifestyle shifts. The good news, however, is that there are many small things you can do to make your life easier and more productive. So here are 10 mini productivity hacks that you can start using today. Number one, you want to post your three most important tasks. Now, one of the key things to realize about productivity is that not every task we have on our plates is equally important. In fact, if we start listing out our tasks and assigning a number next to each, one to denote their level of importance, we'll likely discover several tasks we're responsible for that we honestly shouldn't spend valuable time on. If you want to boost your productivity and get more done, a simple trick to start out with is making a list of the day's tasks and determine the top three tasks that you simply must complete before the day is up. Write the top three down on a sticky note and have it in front of you all day so that you're frequently reminded of what you're working toward and what has to be completed by the end of the day. You also may want to use the Pomodoro technique. The Pomodoro technique is a simple productivity strategy in which you pick one task you're going to focus on without distraction and without stopping for 25 minutes straight. The key to the technique is to use a timer, and you can get that on many apps on your phone. Once the timer rings after 25 minutes, you take a quick 5-minute break before launching into another 25-minute session of a task. The Pomodoro technique works well because your mind isn't as opposed to focusing on something for 25 minutes as it is for much longer periods of time. Your mind thinks, okay, I can do this, knowing that a break is coming up in 25 minutes. Many people who try this find that they achieve more during their 25-minute chunks than they do at any other untracked time of the day. Number three, you're going to want to block distractions. Distractions, such as unimportant emails or social media posts, can be the number one killer of productivity. When you have tasks that you need to focus on, you need a quick and easy way to eliminate distractions so that your productivity doesn't suffer. Before you start a task, put your phone on Do Not Disturb mode and use a service like Freedom on your computer to completely block out the internet for a set period of time. Number four, track your time. Ever considered how you use the precious amount of time you have available each day? If you're not tracking how you typically use your time each day, you should, because you'll probably discover a few things that are simply stealing your time. So track how much time you spend on your smartphone by using an app like TimeLogger to track where your time is spent. Do the same thing with your computer by using an app that runs in the background like Rescue Time. You may find yourself disappointed in the way you've spent your time, which should act as a motivator to try harder next time. You also want to show up early. Now, if you have a job that you have to be at anyway, why not show up a few minutes early and use the time to chip away at some of your important tasks? Showing up early puts you where you need to be when the time for work comes, but it's also a convenient way to open up productivity time, because even a small amount of time can help you be more productive if you use it wisely and remain focused. You want to also practice the 2-minute rule. This simple, simple hack has been suggested by David Allen, the author of the highly popular book about productivity called Getting Things Done. And here's what it comes down to. When you know you can perform a task in 2 minutes or less, you should do it immediately. Now, this makes sense. Why save something that will only take you a couple minutes for later? Get it out of the way so that you'll have more time later for more time-consuming tasks on your list. You also want to automate what you can. Many people have discovered the web automation service IFTTT, if this, then that, to automate some of the tasks they go through each day. IFTTT uses recipes to set triggers as the results that follow those triggers. For example, if you miss a call, you can use a recipe to have a reminder created that will alert you later on to return the call. You can have your daily task list emailed to you at a certain time each morning to get you mentally oriented for the day's events and tasks, and have tweets that you favorite during your downtime saved to your Evernote for viewing later. The key to making automation work is to try some different recipes and see what works for you. Number 8, you're going to want to write it down. One of the most simple hacks you can begin practicing today is to write things down. In fact, it's one of the key factors that Sir Richard Branson, the founder of the Virgin Group, attributes to his personal and professional success. The act of writing things down, such as a list of the tasks we have to accomplish or the processes we have to go through, helps your brain to more easily keep those things in mind as you're working toward your goals. Here's a big one. You need to learn how to say no. If not every task on your plate is equally important and you discover that some tasks just aren't worth the time you have available, don't just do everything anyway. One of the most powerful things you can ever do is to learn the fine art of saying no. If a task doesn't help you to be productive and reach your personal or professional goals, why put it on your list? And finally, you need to take time to recharge. Don't underestimate the value of a good night's sleep. When you work yourself late into the night trying to get tasks completed, you only rob yourself of the ability to give the next day's task your peak performance because you're not properly rested. Remember that not every task you do is equally important, and none of your tasks are worth losing valuable recharging time over. Start using some of these mini productivity hacks today and watch your productivity increase while your stress decreases. So those are hopefully some ways that you can get for the last 5 months of the year. It's 12:57 in sports. In NASCAR, Kyle Busch won for the fourth time in five races last week as he won the Brickyard 400 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for his third straight win and fourth win in five races. This week, the teams will load the haulers and head to the tricky triangle of Pocono International Speedway in Long Pond, Pennsylvania, for this weekend's Pennsylvania 400 race there. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Royals, and Angels lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cardinals, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National League. And a report out late last night shows that the Phillies have traded pitcher Cole Hamels to the Texas Rangers for six players. NFL training camps open this week, and Tom Brady's four-game suspension was upheld by the league. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. When he said, never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best. Now, if you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Huntington County HNC. Chamber of Commerce.
Or visit us
our
on
studios
the web
are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. Org. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@huntington-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.huntertonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
The IDSs are back in SCHOOL.
Just a few more weeks, but you know what you can do now?
What? I'll do anything.
Take them to Kmart and Sears for...
back-to-school items like backpacks, supplies, and apparel. That way, when school starts, they'll be ready to go. They're even giving away surprise points that we can use online or in-store until August 5th. But don't wait that long. Go now!
Oh, okay, okay. Keys.
Amount of points awarded based on membership status and other factors. See ShopYourWay.com for details.
America's youngest state lawmaker has finished her first session. USA Headline News senior correspondent Jason Ward spoke with West Virginia Republican Sarah Blair.
Sarah Blair, the youngest American elected as a state representative, has finished her first session in the West Virginia legislature. Sarah spoke with USA Headline News and said she's encouraged that her election has spurred other teens to